The following recording is from the previous cycle.
Today's daf is Bava Metzia, daf Lamed Hey. We're about 18 lines from the top of daf Lamed Dalet Amid Beis. Yesterday we began the third perek, Bava Metzia, perek HaMafkid. The first halacha perek HaMafkid was that if somebody is a Shomer Pekadon, the Mishnah's case was he was a Shomer Chinam, he tainad Gneva Vaveda, a Shomer Chinam that says Gneva Vaveda has an option. He can back up his statement of Nignava Oinevda with a Shvua and be potter, or he can choose to pay. To the extent he chooses to pay, Shilem V'Lei Rotza Lishava, he chose to pay and not to swear, V'Nimtza Aganev, and afterwards they found the Ganev, Aganev is Chayv Kefal, Tovachu Machar is Chayv Dalad V'Hei, L'mi Meshalem, the Mishnah said he would pay to the Shomer, not to the owner of the Chayfetz, but rather to the Shomer of the Chayfetz. Why? The Gemara said it's based on a super lundus, it's based on an umdana. We assume that the Mafkid, when he gave the Pekodin to the Shomer Pekodin, was makna to the Shomer Pekodin any schus kefal or dal behe that may come in the future, in exchange for him not making him go through the judicial system and agreeing to pay. So there's some sort of implied umdana that the mafkid is willing to be makna the kefal to the shomer pekadin, give him a little bit of upside, as long as he knows at the end of the day that he'll break even. That even if it was nignava inevda, the shomer chinam won't swear and be potter, which would cause the mafkid to lose. But rather, he's willing to give the mafkid back this that he gave him. In exchange for that, he's willing to be maknatim kvelo. Exactly how that works, you have to say that it works somehow lemafreya. The Gneva triggers a retroactive kinyan. Is it retroactive from the time of the Maisa Gneva, or is it Shah Achas Koidema Gneva? That was some of the things that we talked about yesterday. But for now, we have a new halacha. May inyan le inyan ba'is inyan. Amar Rafuna. Rafuna said, Mashbiya noisa shvua she'ena b'shusai. Rafuna was talking about a shomer that is willing to pay the mafkid money, claiming that he doesn't have the chayfetz, and as a result, I'm going to make you whole. So, for example, the shomer chinam, who claimed nignava oinevda, and he doesn't want to swear. He's a shilem v'lei rotzik lishava, like the case of the Mishnah. So he says, the pekadon was worth $1,000, I'm going to write you a check for $1,000. I don't have it. I'm not willing to swear that it was stolen or lost, so I'm going to give it to you. Says Rav Huna, 1 second, you're not off the hook yet. You still have to swear. You have to swear a shvua she'ena b'shusai. Because how do we know that the person doesn't have the chayfetz? And it's a glistin. It's a chayfetz that he wants. He's very interested in keeping the chayfetz for himself. And as a result, he's willing to give the person money, ki'ilu he'd be buying it. So being that we're not convinced that that's not what's going on, we force him to swear shvua she'ena b'shusai. So just because he's paying and making the mafkid whole from a dollars and cents standpoint, doesn't mean that he's off the hook. Because maybe he really has the chayfetz, he just wants it. Now the truth is that if he has the mafkid chayfetz and he wants it, and he's buying it, so to speak, without the knowledge of the mafkid, he's being over the loisaseh of loisachmoy. But if you remember, the Gemara said in Shnayim Moichs, and people don't realize that you're over loisachmoy when you pay for a chayfetz. As a result, it could be the person's not even such a bad guy. He doesn't even realize that he's doing anything wrong. Either way, Rav Huna says, just because he pays doesn't necessarily mean that he's off the hook. So, shilin v'leirotza lishava, 1 second, you're still going to swear. You don't have to swear nignava inevta. What you do have to swear is shvua she'ena b'shusai. Some Rishonim say that this shvua is a shvua deiraisa. It's not even only a shvua derabanan. It's a shvua deiraisa. Regardless, Rav Huna's halacha was that just because you're a shilem v'lei rotza lishava, still the halacha is you would have to swear. What's the shvua? Not nignavoy nevto, but shvua she'ena b'shusai. Says the Gemara, my time of chayshin and shema ein of nasaba. Says the Gemara, Meisvi, I'll ask you a kasha from a long-winded Braisa. Hamalves chaveri ala mashkin. If somebody lent his friend money and he got a mashkin in return, va'ovad ha-mashkin, the malva now lost the mashkin, and now there's a din teira between the malva and the loiva. How much was the mashkin worth? Va'omar loy, he tells him, sella hilvisicha. The malva tells the loiva, I loaned you a sella. Shekel hoyeshava. The mashkin that you gave me was worth a shekel. A shekel is a half a sella. There's two shekels, two shkolim to the sella. As a result, it's true, I was the mashkin, and I, the malva, being that I was the mashkin, I'm responsible for the mashkin that I lost. Incidentally, the halacha is that a malva that receives a mashkin from the loiva is viewed as a shomer. What kind of shomer? Like a shoyel. Even if he can't use it, it doesn't matter. He's still viewed as a shoyel. The halacha is that he's going to be responsible even if an oimus happens. So now that the malva lost the mashkin, any mashkin that he lost, it doesn't matter how he lost it, will be deducted from the loan amount. The question is, how much do we deduct? So the Malva says that it was only worth a shekel. So it's true that you don't owe me the full seller because you gave me a mashkin that was worth a shekel and I lost that, but you still owe me the other shekel. The Loiva says, Loi kiela seller visani. No, it was worth a seller. So the halachi is, and seller hayashava pot. No chiyav shvua. The reason there's no chiyav shvua is because from a shvua standpoint, we look at the loiva as being a kofer hakoyel. The malva is telling him, you owe me 2 shkolim. The loiva is saying, I don't owe you anything. The malva is saying, you owe me 2 shkolim because the original loan was a seller. You gave me a mashkin for a shekel. I lost that mashkin. You now owe me a shekel. The loiva is saying, no, it's not true. The mashkin that I gave you was worth a seller. Meaning, I now, and you lost that seller, which was the amount of the loan. As a result, I don't owe you anything. So the malva is being tedeya a shekel. The loiva is saying, I don't owe you anything. As a result, he's a kofer hakol. There's going to be no chiyav shvua. But what if the malva says the loan was a seller and you gave me a mashkin that was worth a shekel? And the loiva says, it's true, you loaned me a seller, but the mashkin wasn't worth a seller or a shekel, it was worth gimel dinarim. Gimel dinarim would be a shekel and a half. So there's 2 shkolim to a seller, there's 2 dinarim to a shekel. So what's really happening is, the malva's telling the loiva, the original loan was a seller, you gave me a mashkin that was worth a shekel, I lost the mashkin, as a result you owe me a shekel, which is 2 dinarim. The loiva's telling him, the original loan was a seller, I gave you a mashkin that was worth 3 dinarim, a shekel and a half. You lost it. I only owe you a dinar, which is a half a shekel. So it's a classic case of Maidab and Mixas. The Malva is telling the Leva, you owe me a shekel. And the Leva is telling him back, I owe you a shekel. You're half a shekel. I owe you only a dinar. So what's the halacha? There the halacha is, so there the loiva, we'll see better later in the Gemara, has to swear shvur deraisa, because we have a case of loiva b'miktas. Selahil visani olav, what if the loiva goes over to the malva and he tells him that, you know, I borrowed a seller from you, I gave you a mashkin and beis hayashava. The mashkin was actually worth more than the loan amount. It was worth 2 slot. The Malva says, it's true, there was a mashkin, but it was equal to the amount of the loan. Meaning, I, the Malva, don't owe you anything now. Where is it? There was a loan for a seller, there was a mashkin for a seller. I lost the mashkin, that wipes out the loan. I don't owe you anything. The Leva says, no, you actually owe me money now, because the mashkin that I gave you was worth more than the loan. The loan was a seller. The mashkin itself was worth 2 sloyim. So what's the halacha? You're going to be potter. Because, again, it's a case of kofer hakoyel. In this case, the loiva is being toiveya the malva. The loiva is telling the malva, you owe me a seller. Which seller? The seller that the mashkin was worth more than the loan. The malva is telling the loiva back, no, there was no seller in addition from the mashkin to the loan. As a result, I don't owe you anything. Selahil visani olav shnayim hal yashava. What if the Leva tells the malva that I borrowed from you a seller and I gave you a mashkin that was worth 2 slum? Again, in this case, the malva's moida b'miktas. He's moida that the mashkin was worth more than the loan. But he's not moida to the amount that the Leva's saying. The Leva's saying it was worth a full seller more. He tells him it was worth a dinar more. So he's a moida b'miktas. Then the aloch is chayiv. So either way, at first glance, it seems a little convoluted, but if you think about it for a minute, it's not. Basically, we have a case of a toyin v'nitin between the malv and the loiv, and not regarding the value of the original loan. Everyone agrees what the original loan amount was. In our brisa, it was a seller. There's a mashkin. The mashkin was lost. Whatever value the mashkin had gets deducted from the loan amount. And the toyin v'nitin was, how much was the mashkin worth? As a result, if you end up with a case of a kofer hakoyel, there'll be no chiyav shvua. If you can end up with a case of moedah b'miktas, there will be a chiyav shvua. And it doesn't matter if it's the loiva that's being moedah b'miktas or if it's the malva being moedah b'miktas. That's the resha and the sefer respectively. At the end of the day, if there's kofer hakoyel, there is no chiyav shvua. If There's moed b'mikzas, there is chiyash for. Here the Braisa adds a wrinkle. Mi nishba, who swears? So at first glance you would say, in the Reisha, the loiv is the one that's swearing because he was the moed b'mikzas. In the Sefer, the Malva is the one that's swearing because he's the one that was moed b'mikzas. Says the Braisa, it's not the way it works. The way it works is, misha pekodin etzloi. The Malva is always the one that swears. The Malva is the one that's watching the pekodin. The Pekadin is the Mashke. He's the one that has to swear. Because we're concerned that if the Loiva is going to swear, maybe the Malva really has this Pekadin. He has this Mashke. He knows exactly where it is. He doesn't like the Loiva, and he's setting him up. He wants to put the Loiva in a situation where he's going to swear. And after he swears, the Malva is going to take the Mashkin out. He's going to show it to Bezdin. He's going to show Bezdin that the Loiva swore falsely. And if the Loiva swears falsely, he's going to lose his credit. It's the equivalent of filing bankruptcy. He'll never get a mortgage. He'll never be able to have a credit card. He's going to get himself into a lot of trouble. He'll be possible Eidus. He'll be possible Shfu. It's going to be very hard for him to walk around and be engaged in Masa Umata because he's going to be Becheska Shakrin. We can't allow the Loiva to be so vulnerable. So being that we know the Malva is the one that has the mashkin, or is the one that had the mashkin, and it's possible that he has it right now, he's just setting up the loiva. We don't want this other yid, the loiva, to be set up. So we say that in every case of this braisa, it's the malva, the one that's going to swear. Says the Gemara. Let's see it inside. Mi nishba, mi shapekodin etzloi, shem yishav azeh, v'yotzi alos pekod. Mahai. This braisa that said that the malva is the one that swears, what's it going back on? Ilei ma seifa, is it going back on the seifa? The seifa is the case where the loiva told the malva the mashkin was worth more than the loan. And the malva was either kofer akoil or moed b'miktas. So the malva is the one that me'ikar adin has to swear. V'tepeglei the shvur gabi malva hi, da'ka moed b'miktas atayna. He is the nitva in the seifa. He's the one that's moed b'miktas in the case where the Braisa discussed the Moed B'Miktsa. So it's Pasha that the Malva has to swear. I don't need the Braisa to tell me who swears, me Nishba, the Malva. Of course the Malva swears in the Seifa. The Malva is the Moed B'Miktsa in the Seifa. Elo Amar Shmuel, Shmuel said, Aresha. It must be going back, Aresha. Freik the Gemara, are safe for the Resha. Selah Visicha. Which part of the Resha? The safe of the Resha. The Resha of the Resha was the case where the Loiva was Kofer HaKoel. The Sefer of the Resha was the case where the Loiva was Moed B'Miktas. What was the Sefer of the Resha? Selah Hilvi Sicha Olav. Shekel HaYashava. V'aloy Eimer Loiki Ela Selah Hilvi Sani Olav. Shloisha Dinarim HaYashava. Again, what was the case? The case was where the Malva goes over to the Loiva. He says, I loaned you a Selah. You gave me back a Mashkin. I lost a Mashkin. It was worth a Shekel. Let's deduct the Shekel from the loan amount. You owe me a Shekel. The Loiva is Moed B'Miktas. He says, it's true you loaned me a Selah. It's true I gave you a Mashkin. It's true you lost a Mashkin. But the Mashkin wasn't worth a Shekel. It was worth a Shekel and a half. Meaning, I don't owe you a full shekel, I owe you a half a shekel. If you strip all the drama from the story, what you're left with is Moed B'Miktas. Moed B'Miktas swears. So the Gemara says, maybe that's what the Braisa was saying. That in that case, it's not the Loiva that swears, even though the Loiva is the Moed B'Miktas. We put the Shvu on the Malva, because we don't want the Loiva to swear, and then the Malva is going to say, I was lying, I really had the Mashkin all along. I told you you're a bad guy. I told you I'd get the last laugh. And as a result, the Loiva's going to lose all his credit. He's going to be finished. Says the Gemara, right? That was presumably the case that we're talking about. Meaning, Elo, Mashmul, Aresha, the Sefer, Selahil, Visicha, Olav, Shakal, Hayashava, Vahalo, Oimeloiki, Elo, Selahil, Visani, Olav, Shloisha, Dinarim, Hayashava, the Chayiv. He's chayef. The shvua gabi loiva. The shvua mida iraisa is the loiva shvua. The amar rabbanon. The rabbanon said l'shtava malva. We want the malva to swear. Shem yishtava zevi yotzei alos pekot. What's the kasha? So that's the braisa. What does that have to do with our sugyo? What does that have to do? Rav Huna said to im isla the Rav Huna. Now, if you're going to tell me that Rav Huna is right, that any time a shomer pekotin doesn't have the pekotin, even if he admits, even if he's a shilei v'leirotzel lishava, even if he's willing to pay. The halacha always is that he still has to swear. Shvua she'ina b'shusi. So this malva is anyways going to have to swear. He's going to have to swear that he doesn't have the mashkin. So if he's anyways going to swear that he doesn't have the mashkin, then why in the sefer derasha, where the loiva is really the one that's chayish shvua derasha, are we being matled the shvua on the malva? Because we're afraid the malva is going to pull out the mashkin, show us that he really has it, and show us that the loiva swore falsely. The Malva already swore he doesn't have it. So if the Malva already swore he doesn't have it, we trust him. Otherwise, we wouldn't let him swear. So there's no chash anymore that he's going to be moitzi the pekatan. Ve'im isal the rafuna, even the mishtaba Malva she'en b'shus. And once the Malva swears that it's not his b'shus, heichi matzi mapikla. How could you be concerned? How is it possible that he's going to be moitzi the mashkin? Amar Rava said, you have to say, it's talking about she'yesh edim she'nisrafa. It's talking about a case where the Malva, in fact, didn't swear. Why would the Malva not swear? Rav Huna said, "Mashpiyin oisai shvua she'ena b'shusai." Every shomer pekadin, the Malva is a shomer pekadin on the mashkin. So even if he's willing to concede that he lost it, and let's deduct that from the loan amount, he's still going to have to swear shvua she'ena b'shusai. What's the example, however, Rava said where he wouldn't have to? If Edom say that it was burnt, for example. So if Edom say that it was burnt, there's no point in making him swear. Why do we make him swear? Because we're afraid that he has it, that he wants it. He's being over lo sachmoy. This is something that he wants for himself. If Edom say that it was burnt, then there's nothing to worry about. So we're talking about where Edom said it was burnt. But ihachi, if yahalting cheshbin, if Edom say that it was burnt, then there's no way for the malva later to pull out the mashkin and show Bezdin how much the mashkin was really worth, and prove to Bezdin that the loiva was a shakir. So really the loiva is the one in the sefer the ratio. That's chayev shvua deraisa. We're taking the shvua away from the loiva, we're giving it to the malva because we don't want the malva to set him up. How's the malva going to set him up? By pulling it out of his hand. The only way the malva could pull it out of his hand is if he has it. But the Gemara just said that in order to reconcile the brice in light of Rav Huna's halacha, you have to say, Edom said it was, Edom said it's gone. Then there's no such chashash. So then why in the world does the Malva, the one that has to swear, let the Leiva swear, talking about not Edom saw that it was burnt, but Edom saw that it was stolen. So being that Edom saw that it was stolen, he doesn't have to swear, but there's still a chash now that he may have the pekadin, or that the pekadin may surface, because it wasn't burnt, it was only stolen. So maybe they'll find the ganav. But soif, freak the Gemara, how are you going to find it? Edom say that it was stolen. We obviously trust the Edom. So how are you going to come up with this? The Torah umaisila. You're going to have to go find the ganif. Ihachi kimishtava malva nami litrach loiva valesi. So why then is there an assumption that the malva has a better chance of coming up with the pekadin to prove that the loiva was a liar than there is of the loiva coming up with the pekadin to prove that the malva is the liar? Bishlama, if we have no idea where the mashkin is, we're taking the malva's word for it. So we have to be concerned. Maybe the Malva really has the mashkin, he really has the pekadin. The Leiva is going to swear falsely, and the Malva is going to prove that he swore falsely. We're going to set him up. That's something we don't want. But if Edom are telling us that it was stolen, so the Malva doesn't have it, the Leiva doesn't have it. Some ganav has it. So there is a chash, it's true that it may surface, but there isn't a bigger chash that the Malva is going to find it than the Leiva is going to find it. Either one of them may find it. The point is, it's not more of a tzad that the loiva is being set up than the malva is being set up. So why are we taking the shvur from the loiva, who has the swear shvur deraisa, and we're putting it on the malva because of some chash? Bishloima, if as far as we know, the last one that had it was the malva, so it makes sense that there's a better chance the malva has it, obviously, than the loiva has. As far as we know, the malva had it. We're taking his word for it. So I don't know if we want to trust him. But if Edom say that it was stolen, that means right now the malva doesn't have it, the loiva doesn't have it. There's a chash, maybe the malva will dig it up, and maybe the loiva will also dig it up. So there's no svara to make the loiva swear, or make the malva swear more than to make the loiva swear. But the Gemara says there is a svara. It's a subtle svara, but there's a svara. Bishloima malva yoda man ka'oil v'nafib gebesai. Right now, if the malva was going to embark upon an investigation to try to find the ganav, he'd have a much better chance of finding the ganav than the loiva would. Because the malva will have a short list of suspects. He knows who comes to his house. He knows who may have some inside information. So he can narrow down a list of suspects better than the loiva has no clue. He has no idea. So there is a better chance that the malva will find the ganav than the loiva will find the ganav. If the malva finds the ganav, he can prove the loiva to be a liar. We don't want that. Therefore, we take the shvur from the loiva, who really was the b'mayda b'mikzas, who was really chayah shvur deraisa, and instead we give it to the malva. So bishleim a malva yodaman ka'ayl v'nafik b'beisi v'azal v'tarech u'maisi v'al loiva mi yodaman ayl v'nafik b'beisi. The malva, the loiva doesn't know who comes in and out of the malva's house. As a result, we impose the shvua on the malva, not on the loiva. Either way, we brought this whole brice over here, Moedib and Mixas, this whole sugi of mashkin. Why to ask a kash on Rav Huna? Rav Huna said, Mashpia noisa shvua she'ena bir shusa. The Gemara's kasha was, in the case of mashkin, where the loiva is Moedib and Mixas, and the brice says, we don't let the loiva swear the shvua deraisa. We make the malva swear. Why? Because we're concerned that the loiva is going to swear and the malva is going to be moitzi the mashkin and prove that the loiva was a liar. The kasha is, if the malva has to swear, shvua she'ena b'shusi, so he doesn't have it. If he doesn't have it, he swore he doesn't have it, so we should trust him that he doesn't have it. Otherwise, we wouldn't let him swear. So if he doesn't have it, that whole chash goes by the way, so why can't we let the loiva swear? The Gemara had to make an akimta, amar rava, hachav and mayaskinon, where there are edim that said it was nisrafa, or there are edim that say it was nignava. The point is, edim said that it's not here. Being that edim said it's not here, he never swore shvur deiraisa, he never swore shvur shayna b'shusei. So there's nothing to do with Rav Huna's case. Rav Huna's case with the Shoimer has to swear is when there's no Edom telling us what happened. Over here there were Edom. Being that there were Edom, that's why this says no relevance to Rav Huna's halacha. Abaya Omer. Abaya said a different text. Gzeira Shema Yitain V'yoimer Loi Achar Shvua Mitzosiyo. We're worried that the person's going to swear, but afterwards he's going to say that I found it after my Shvua. What do you get when the Malva swears? He swears that it's not a my Rishos. Okay, right now it wasn't a my Rishos. Maybe he was even telling the truth, and then later he found it. Or maybe he was a liar, and his way of saving face is by telling Beis Din that at the time I swore I was telling the truth. Grada, I've since found it. But the point is, just because he swears doesn't necessarily mean that we've alleviated this concern that the Malva could take down the Loiva, and therefore the halacha is that we want the Malva to swear, not the Loiva. Rav Ashi Amar, Rav Ashi said a third teretz, Zeh Nishba v'Zeh Nishba. That when the Braisa said we make the Malva swear, it's takin not referring to the Shvus Moedim Mixas. The Shvus Moedim Mixas, the Loiva swears. Again, in the case where the Loiva is the Moedim Mixas, the Loiva is the one that's going to swear. What did the Braisa mean when it said, who swears the Bala Pekodin, in this case the Malva who was watching the Mashkin? It means he swears Shvus Rav Huna. That's what it means. Zeh Nishba She'ena B'Shusoy, V'zeh Nishba Kama Hayashava. We make the Malva swear She'ena B'Shusoy. And then we make the Loiva swear Shvus Moedim Mixas. And in fact, what the Brais is saying is the point of the sugya. Once the Malva swears Shvus She'ena B'Shusoy, and then, in fact, like the Makshin holds in the sugya, we can let the Loiva swear Shvus Moedim Mixas. Why wouldn't you want it to swear Shvus Moedim Mixas? You don't want the Malva later to tell Beis Din, I told you so. But if the Malva swears Shvus She'ena B'Shusoy, at that point, there's no concern. So according to Rav Ashi, he's saying a whole new pshat in the Braisa. The Braisa doesn't mean that the Malva is the one that swears the Ikash Shvus Moedim Mixas. The Loiv is the one that swears the Ikash Shvus Moedim Mixas. What did the Braisa mean when it says, Mi Nishba, the Malva? It's a different Shvua. Which Shvua? Atu Rav Huna Shvua. So, according to Rav Ashi, Rav Huna has a makar in this Braisa. The Shvua that the Braisa said the Malva swears is Gufa Rav Huna Shvua. The Shvua Shehena Bir Shusei. V'hochi Kamar says Rav Ashi, Mi Nishba Tchilo. Who swears first? Meaning they're both going to swear. The Malva's going to swear and the Loiva's going to swear. The Malva's going to swear Rav Huna Shvua. The Loiv is going to swear Shvus Moedim B'Mikzas. The question of the Braisa was not who swears. You have to add one word. It's Mi Nishbat Tchila. Malva Nishbat Tchila. Shemi Yishav Azeh. V'yotzi Allah. Es Ha'api Kotev. Rabuna Bar Tachlifa Mishmei De Rava. I will not finish. Rabuna Bar Tachlifa said in the name of Rava. Reisha De Seifa. Tiyofta L'Rafuna. The Reisha of the Seifa, to me, is a tiyufta l'Rav Huna. That in itself, to me, is a checkmate kash on Rav Huna. What was the ratio of the Seifa? The Seifa was where the Malva is the Nitva, the Loiva is the Teveya. Where the Malva and the Loiva both agree that there was a loan, they also both agree there was a Mashkin. They also both agree that the Mashkin, well, not in both cases, but the Nidin is whether the Mashkin was worth the amount of the loan, or is worth more than the loan. So in the ratio of the Sefer, the Loiva is telling the Malva, the loan was a seller, the Mashkin was too slow. You lost the Mashkin, you owe me a seller. The table's turned. The Loiva is being Teveya to the Malva. In the ratio, the Malva's Kefraka, no, it was worth a seller, I don't owe you anything. In the Sefer, he's Moedim B'Mikzas. Says, it was worth more, it wasn't worth a seller more, it was worth a dinar more. It was Chamisha Dinarim, as opposed to 4 dinarim. It was worth a little bit more. He's a Moedim B'Mikzas. In the Reisha, the Malva doesn't swear because he's a Kofer HaKoyel. In the Reisha, the Seifa. In the Seifa of the Seifa, the Malva's a Moedim B'Mikzas. He does have to swear. Freaked Rav Huna Bar Tachlifa. In the name of Rava. Let's speak it out outside. If every time a Nitva, a Shomer Pekodim, says, I don't have the Pekodim, even if he's willing to pay, the Halach is he has to swear Shvur Shein B'Shusay. So this Malva, who's the Shomer Pekodin, he's watching the Mashkin, who is a Kofer HaKoyel, is going to have to swear a real Shvua, which according to many is a Shvua Deiraisa. He's going to have to swear Shvua She'ena B'Shusay, because that has nothing to do with the Moedim B'Mikzas to Kofer HaKoyel. Once he swears Shvua She'ena B'Shusay, say Gilgul Shvua, and he should be Chayef to swear Shvua, even for what the amount of the mashkin was, and even though he's a kofer akol, and a kofer akol never swears shvuah, but al yidei gilgul shvuah, he could be chayev to swear. So even though he was a kofer akol, he should be chayev shvuah. And from the fact that the Reisha the Sefer says that he's not obligated to swear at all, it seems like there's no chayev shvuah be'etzem, which we know he's not a moed b'mikzas, but there's also no chayev mitzad gilgul shvuah, which in that case would suggest there's no other shvuah. If there's no other shvuah, it's a kashan Rav Huna. Rav Huna said every time a shomer pekadin says that I don't have the chayfetz, or even if he's willing to pay, he still has to swear shvuah she'ena b'shusay. So Rav Huna b'tachlivim shei d'rova amar reisha the sefer tiufta l'Rav Huna. It's a tiufta. He came guns blazing because sell he'll be sani olav shnayim ayeshava. If the loyva tells the malva, I borrowed a sell, I gave you a mashkin, it was worth two slime. V'alo ayim the malva says loyki elo sell v'sich olav sell v'ayeshava was worth a sell. Potter the loch is his potter because he was kaif rakov v'misel d'Rav Huna. If Rav Huna is right, migu the meshtabe malva she'ena b'shusay. Once the loyva can force the malva to swear shvuah she'ena b'shusay l'shtabe nam yagil shvuah. Let him throw upon him the Gilgul Shvuah as well. Kamo Yeshavu. Omer Rav Ashi said, Amrita Lashmaita Kameda Rav Kahana. I asked this kasha to Rav Kahana. Va'omer Ali Rav Kahana said, you have to make him a kimto. Tehei bima minoy. It's talking about where the loiva trusts the malva. And being that he trusts the malva, it's for that reason that he wasn't mechayev him to swear Shvuah She'ena B'shusa. If he didn't swear Shvuah She'ena B'shusa, so there's no ikur shvuah to now say gilgul shvuah. It's true. Rav Huna said the loiva has a schos, he has a right to be mechayev the malva to swear shvuah she'ena b'shusay. But it's only a right that he has. He would have to exercise that right. The case of the braisa is where he didn't exercise that right. So he wasn't mechayev the malva to swear shvuah she'ena b'shusay. As a result, he now can't force him to swear kama hayashava. But the Gemara says, if we're talking about a loiva that trusts the malva, then how do we get into this whole mess? What's the whole discussion? How much was the mashkin worth? Was it worth a sella? Was it worth two slum? Was it worth five dinar? To the extent the leiva trusts the malva. So what did the malva say? I thought you trust him. Vinehemni leiva la malva nami baha. Says kama have a shava. So the Gemara says, no, it's different. Like kim le begave. It's not that the leiva doesn't trust the malva. He trusts the malva. And that's why when the malva says it's not in my rishos, he didn't even make him swear. He believed in that it wasn't in his rishos. But you want to know how much this was worth? The leiva is going to tell him, what do you know? This is mine. I've owned this for 20 years. I gave it to you as a mashkin. You have it for an hour and a half. You're going to tell me how much it's worth? I'm telling you what it's worth. I'm telling you it's worth two slot. You're telling me it's worth a sella? It's not that I don't trust you. I do trust you. But at the same time, the loiva doesn't think the malva knows. Like kimle begave. Freik the Gemara, if this is one big kumbaya over here, everybody's trusting each other, the loiva trusts the malva. Wow, you don't even have to swear shvuah she'ena b'shusay. So the hemni malva la loiva. Why doesn't the malva trust the loiva? The kimle begave. Why doesn't the malva trust that whatever the loiva said the mashkin was worth, it's worth? So the Gemara says, loi mehemelay. No, no, the loiva trusted the malva. The malva didn't trust the loiva, which is a little ironic, because the malva is the one that loaned the money to the loiva, but whatever. Umayish, shno loiva, the mehemelay, the malva, maish, the malva, the loi mehemelay, the loiva. My paskis, like the Gemara will say sometimes. So you're making a really interesting akimta to make sense of this braisa. It's talking about where the loiva trusts the malva. That's why there was no shvuah she'ena b'shusay. But at the same time, he doesn't trust in how much the mashkin's worth, because how would he know? The malva doesn't trust the loiva at all. So even though the loiva should know how much the mashkin is worth, still the malva doesn't trust the loiva. But the Gemara says, how do you know to make such an akimta? It must be that's usually the way it is. It must be the loiva usually trusts the malva, again, as counterintuitive as it is, and the malva doesn't trust the loiva. Gemara says, yeah, it's usually the way it is. You know why? Because loiva mekayim b'malva tumas yisharim tanchim, and this is a pasuk in Mishlei, tumas, not miloshin misa. It's tumas without the vav. Tumas over here means miloshin tam. He's a tamim. Tumas yisharim tamchem, that when someone's a yashar, he's a tam. Tanchem will usually lead him to good places. So the loiva assumes that his malva, who's presumably a gvir, that's why he's on the malva side of the table, probably became a gvir because he was tumas yisharim. He was a tam and he was a yashar. So he trusts him. He must be an honest guy. The malva sees the loiva differently. Malva mekayim leiva loiva v'selef boigdim yeshadim. The loiva, who in this story is the one that needs the money. Why is he in a situation that he needs the money? Probably because all of Akasavaymer v'selef boigdim yishadim, because he's a bogot. Maybe because he wasn't so honest. Meaning the Malva doesn't want to trust the Loiva. So there's a psychology here based on a pasuk in Mishlei Perik Yeral of Pasuk Gimel that the Loiva thinks the Malva, ehat the gel, because he's tumas yisharim. The Malva sees the Loiva as selef boigdim. Thus, the Loiva trusts the Malva. The Malva trusts. Malva doesn't trust the Loiva. Exhale. So just one light note before we continue and before we go right there. So you have your apostle, Tumas Yisharim Tamchem, Veselef Boigdim Yisharim. Rabbeinu Yonah and Mishlei on that apostle says that the word Tumas is a word that comes up throughout Nach. It's the Sheirish of the word Tumas is the word Tam. Eshalech Betam Levavi Tamim Yil. We find the word Tam throughout the Torah. Most notably, this week's parasha, Noyach Ish Tzadik. Tomim Hoya B'day Roysov. So Rabbeinu Yonah just says one knitch that I thought was interesting. He says, you find an animal also could be a tam. Tamimim. Tomim Yil Rotzen Komum La Yeboy. Para Aduma Tamima. What's the definition of an animal that's a tamim? It means it has no mum. What's the definition of a person that's a tamim? Says Rabbeinu Yonah, it's a person that has good midas. That's the definition of a tamim. So whenever you find the word tamim in the Torah, it means he had good midas. In fact, by Noyach, Tzadik Tom, Noyach Ish Tzadik, Tomim Hoy B'dei Roysov. Say Chazal, Tzadik B'maisov. That means he sat and learned. He was an Oyved Hashem, Tomim B'drochov. What does Drochov mean, says Rabbeinu Yonah? It means B'midoysov. That's the definition of Tomim. A Tomim is someone that has good midas. And he says, what's the pshat? He says, very simple. Perfection in an animal would mean an animal that has no mum. That's how you would define perfection. An animal has physical value, so if it's perfect without a physical blemish, that would be the definition of it being a tamim. But what's the milo of a person? It's not his physicality, that's superficial. It's his nefesh, it's his sichli. Shlemus hanefesh is good midos, it's midos tovus. So just like the tamim in an animal is the animal that has no mum, the tamim of a person is the person that has no midas rois. Either way, that's noyach ish tzadik, tamim hoye b'dei roisav, tzadik b'maisav, tamim b'drachav. Drachav says Rabbeinu Yonah means midosav, because that's how you define shleimus ha'adam. The perfect person, the spitz person, is the person that has midas tovus. Hahu gavro, da afkit kipi gavi chavrei. There was a person that loaned his friend, not loaned him, he gave him a pekadon to watch, kipi. Kipi, Rashi says, nezomim, nose rings. Not so popular today, but once upon a time, very popular. Nose rings. Amale, havli kipi. So the mafkid goes over to the shemir pekadon and he says, I want my nose rings. Amale, lo yadana heich. I don't know what you're talking about. Actually, he didn't say lo yadana, that was the wrong touch. Lo yadana, he says, I don't know where I left them. I had them, I misplaced them. I don't know where they are. So the Gemara says, "Lo yadana hecha isvinu." Also, the Kamid Rav Nachman, the Shailos brought to Rav Nachman. Amalei Rav Nachman said, "Kol lo yadana pshiusei." If a person says, "I forgot, I can't remember, I misplaced them, I'm just not sure," he's considered a pesheya, and as a result, he passed ginzil shalim. Go pay him. Lo yishilei. He didn't pay him. Also, Rav Nachman, agbila padne mine. So Rav Nachman went and he took away his padno. He took something away from him because he had a biyuteveya. He went into the nechassim of the loiva. The Levit, not the Shomer, who was responsible to pay the mafkid to demand payment. The Soif Ishtakh Kipi. A little while later, they found an Azamin, the Eiker, and it turned out that the Kipi had gone up dramatically in value. Omer Rav Nachman, so Rav Nachman said, Hodra Kipi Lamarai, the way this is going to go down is we're going to give the Nizamin back to the Mafkid, the real owner of the Kipi, Vahadra Apadna Lamara, and we're going to give that Padna back to its owner, to the Shomer Pekadon. Meaning we took that Padna from the Shomer Pekadon because we didn't have the Kipi. But now that we found the Kipi, so give the Kipi, give the Nizamin back to the Mafkid, and give the Shomer Pekadon back his Apadna. Omer Rava, Rava said, an interesting Gemara, Yisif Nekamed Rav Nachman, that very moment when this shaila was brought to Rav Nachman, I was sitting by Rav Nachman. And Afyomi was holding Perikah Mafkid. The Amri Le, and I was learning the Mishnah that said, Shilim v'lei rotza lishava, our Mishnah, Shemichinam, that says, I don't want to swig name Vaveda, I'm willing to pay. So I told this to Rav Nachman. I said, Rav Nachman, why is this different than the case of the Mishnah? In the case of the Mishnah, when the Shemichinam pays, even when he's not obligated to pay, when the Shemichinam pays, what happens? He now becomes the owner, so to speak. So if there's any kafel that comes about it later, Nimtza Haganev, the kefil is going to go to the shomer that he paid. Say here too, once the shomer gave his apadna to the mafkid, so he should now be zoicha in the kipi. So if we find the kipi later, the kipi go up in price, it should be no different than the kefil. It should go to the shomer. It shouldn't go to the mafkid. So the Gemara said, "Voyahad." Nachman didn't answer. He made believe he didn't even hear what I was saying. And Rav Rova said, "I thought about it a little bit." The shaper of it, the loyahad. He was right for not answering. My time. He's right for not answering. You know why? Because the whole svar of acting like fela is predicated on the fact. That it's pre- on the fact that the, if the mafkid tells the shaymer, if you're not going to make me go through the legal system, you'll make my job easy, I'll be makna l'kfeilo. That's not what this person did. He didn't want to pay. They had to force him to take things from his nechassim, being that he would hustle le'atrach le'beidina. Hocha atrach le'beidina. A little bit more Gemara. The name of the Sover of Nachman, one thing says the Gemara, b'derech agav, not related to perek ha'mafkid, I could take out of what Rav Nachman said. And that is the shuma hadar. What does shuma hadar mean? That if a loiva owes a malva money, the loiva didn't want to pay. Bezdin went and took money from the loiva to pay back the malva. Now the loiva has money. So, for example, the loiva borrowed $10,000. The loan came due, he didn't have $10,000. The malva went to Bezdin. They went through the process of Bezdin, and ultimately, they go to the loiva, you have to, he says, chavash kangel. So they took a piece of karka from him. They took a piece of property worth $10,000. Now, 6 months later, the loiva has a few dollars. So he goes to Bezdin and he says, I want my property back. It's been in the family for 100 years. I'll give you the $10,000. What's the halacha? So it's a shayla in the Gemara. Shuma hadar or shuma loy hadar? Once Bezdin makes a shuma, can we unwind it or can we not unwind it? Says the Gemara, this sugya, this story with Rav Nachman, would seem to be a raya, the sover of Nachman, the shuma hadar. Why would it be a raya the shumahata? Because what happened in this case? What happened in this case was they took that padna, but as soon as they found the kipi, they gave the kipi to the mafkid, and they took the apadna, and they gave it back to the shomer. Why'd they give it back to him? Once there was a shuma, they should have left it. So you see that shuma hadar says the Gemara. No, it could be there's no raya. Shani hasam the shuma betos. Have a kipi made card. The case over there was where it was a tois. The shayla shuma hadar shuma hadar is when the labor really doesn't have any money. Could be that the shomer had the nizamim the whole time. He didn't know where it was. Lo yodana heichai svisu. Later it surfaced. They found it. Oh, being that they found it. So over there it was different. But a shuma, where it's not based on tos, over there could be lo yodah. Amri nahardai. Shuma hadar atresa yarchi shasa. A shuma is hadar, but only up to 12 months. Amra meimra, anoma nahardai, anot ichkum fin nahardai. Vesfirli, and I hold shuma hadar lo oilam. Vehilchasa, shuma hadar lo oilam. Shuma is always hadar, mishum shenemar, because the pasuk says, vaasisa esayosha vesatoy. This pasuk, vaasisa vesayosha vesatoy, is a pasuk in Parshas Veschanan. The pasuk says, "Vasisa hayoshev atoyv beinei Hashem, leman yitav loch, will be good for you." The arashta saoretz atoyva, asher nishba Hashem lavisecha. Rashi says, "What does it mean? Vasisa hayoshev atoyv zupshara ulefnim meshur sadin." What it means is lefnim meshur sadin. If you look in the Ramban is a lot more wordy. Rashi says five words: zupshara ulefnim meshur sadin. The Ramban has a whole arichos. The Ramban says, "V'seh inyan gadol." It's impossible for the Torah to start enumerating all the midas toivos, all the good things that a person should do. It's not possible, whether it relates to business or yishev hamedina. It's impossible. What did the Torah do? The Torah gave us some examples. The Torah said, "Loiselach rochel b'mecho, loisikim loisitar, loisachem adam, loisamad adam reyecho, loisakal cheresh mitei sevatokum ukayoytze behem." So the Torah gave us some examples. After the Torah gave us some examples, Chaza loyma b'derech klal sheyasa atoiv v'hayosher b'chol davar. So vasisa v'hayosher v'satoiv is an azara klali. It means that a person should act and conduct himself with other people in a way that's yosher, in a way that's slave. So according to Rashi, it's something more precise. It's pshara and lefnim meshur satin. According to the Ramban, it's a mitzvah klali. I saw in the Minchas Asher, Usher Weiss, he relates this Ramban to the first Ramban in Parshas Kedoshim, a well-known Ramban, where the Ramban says, Kedoshim Tiyu is an Azara Kloli, that a person in his Ben Adam Lamakim has to sometimes go the extra mile. He sometimes has to go Lefnim Meshur Sadin. So just like the Torah gave us an Azara Kloli, Kedoshim Tiyu, which means everything, so too, Ben Adam L'chaveroi, you have the same idea, and that's the idea of Vasisa Vasayasha Vasatoi. We learned the Gemara, Perikei Lamatzias, Rabbi Yochanan said, L'charve Yerushalayim, Elashem Yidu Dineim Adon Torah. What should they have done? The Greek laws they should have followed? No, they dafke did the din. They didn't go lefnim eshuras hadin. I was thinking it could be it's merubas in this pasuk. Vasisa hayoshev atoy v'enei Hashem. Says Rashi, what does that mean? Zupshara v'lefnim eshuras hadin. What's the hemshach of the pasuk? L'man yitav lach uvasa v'yarashta esaretz atoy v'ashenish b'asham laviseicha. If you're going to be vasisa v'esa yoshev v'esa atoy, then uvasa v'yarashta esaretz. But what happens when the Yidin don't go with the Mishra Sadim, when they're not Vasis and Yashua Satoiv? They lose our Oretz Satoiv, Hashanishba Hashem Lavisecha. But either way, that's this mitzvah over here, Vasis and Yashua Satoiv, which we went through really quickly. We'll start with this tomorrow. The Gemara said is the Makar to the idea of Shumahadar, meaning Shumahadar maybe shouldn't really be true. Michitesi. The Loiva gave it already. Who said he should get his land back? But Shumahadar. There's other halachas dinim, the bar mitzvah is learned out from Vasisa Vasa Yashav Satoiv. There are dinim that are learned out from Vasisa Vasa Yashav Satoiv. Either way, from now until the second Mishnah on Amud Beis, here in Perek HaMafki, the Gemara is going to talk about this sugya of Shuma Hadar. Again, it's a digression. How did it come into Perek HaMafki? It's fun sometimes to remember how the Gemara does what it does, is because the Gemara told a story with Rav Nachman that was newsworthy in light of the first halacha in Perek HaMafkid, but Derek Agav, it's also newsworthy in light of the sugya of Shuma Hadar. So the Gemara digresses a little bit with Shuma Hadar. Says the Gemara Pshita, Shomali the Balchayv, Va'azal Iyu, V'shamal the Balchayv. What would be if Reuven loaned Shimon money? Shimon didn't have any money. As a result, Bezdin went and they took from Shimon, a piece of property. They gave it to Reuven as payment towards his loan. Reuven, too, owed somebody else money. Reuven took Shimon's property and he gave it to Levi as payment for a loan. Now Shimon, the first loifa, comes up with money. He wants his property back. But Reuven, his malva, doesn't have the property anymore. He already gave it to Levi, because although Reuven was Shimon's malva, he was also Levi's loiva. So the halacha is that Shimon can go to Levi, take back his property, and Shimon will take the money that he's now made, give it to Reuven, who will give it to Levi, so everybody will be made whole. But the point is, at the end of the day, Shimon, that original life and our story, will end up getting his money back. And the reason is, if there's a halach of Shuma Hadar, which is predicated on Vasisa Yoshev HaToiv, that if I'm a malva, my expectation going in was that I was going to get money, so that even though now I ended up with a piece of property, to the extent that the leiva can redeem his property by giving you money, you should accept it. Just like that's true for the first malva in our story, it's true for the second malva in our story as well. It's true for Reuven, it's also true for Levi, because Reuven and Levi are both malvas. So a malva should always be willing to take money. And even if in the interim he was forced to take anything other than money, Vasisa Vayoshev HaToiv, the right thing is at the end of the day to take money. The question the Gemara says is, what if Zovna, what if the Malva sold the piece of property, or he died, and his children Yarshin the piece of property, or the other Matana, he gave it over, b'matana. So again, it's similar to the previous case, where this piece of property is not around anymore, the Leiva gave the Malva a piece of property, the Malva doesn't have it. But not because he used it to make payment on a loan that he had, but rather he sold it, he gave it over b'Yerusha, he gave it b'Matana. Over there, the halach is that if the loiva comes up with the money, he's a day late and a dollar short. He's not going to be able to redeem his property anymore because the malva doesn't have it anymore, and the malva gave it away. And vaday hani meikara adaita da ara nachus v'lav adaita da zuzi nachus. And the Gemara says here the svar is different, because the hova sisa v'yoshev es atoiv is a svar for the malva. The malva loaned money. His expectation was to get money back in exchange. And being that was his expectation, even though that's not what he got, at the end of the day, if the loiva is willing to give you money, take the money. But if somebody buys a piece of property, his expectation is not to get money. His expectation is to buy something. If somebody yarshins a piece of property, he's yarshining a piece of property. If somebody gets a gift, a piece of property, so he thinks he's getting a piece of property. 6 months later, the one that gave him the matana is going to say, you know, I gave you a piece of property, but the truth is that it was mine, but I had gotten it in payment for a loan, and now the Leva came up with the money. He gave me money instead. So give me back the piece of property, and I'm going to give you money. There's no halacha of asisa v'yoshev ezatoiv for the mekabel matana, the recipient of this gift, to say, okay, it's a svara where there was an expectation to get money. But in these three cases, that wasn't necessarily expectation. It's for that reason the svara of asisa v'yoshev ezatoiv v'yoshev ezatoiv does not apply. If asisa v'yoshev ezatoiv v'yoshev ezatoiv does not apply, the halacha is you're not going to say shuma hada. Now, a little bit of a more complicated case. What if a woman loaned somebody money? She tried collecting it. The loiva didn't have money, so the loiva instead gave her a piece of property. Vinciba, and she got married. Or she herself borrowed money, and she didn't have money to pay. So she herself gave over a piece of property. V'intziba, and she died. V'intziba, she got married. Umeis, and she died. Says the Gemara, this is a little trickier. The reason it's trickier is because although the woman could be loiva umalva, there's another person that needs to be factored into this, and that's the husband. And we know that the rule is that if a woman owns something, when she's married, it's called either nechsa maluga, nechsa tzom barzel. This specifically is a case that's discussing nechsa milug. Nechsa milug, although the woman owns the underlying principle, the balas eichel peiros, whether it's fruit or whether it's rental income, any income that's generated as a result of this asset belongs to the husband. So you have to take the husband into consideration. Says the Gemara, bal b'nechsa yishtei lekeya chafa. Now you view a husband's schus b'nechsa yishtei. We look at it as if he bought the property. That's always the way we view the husband, lahalacha. Being that we view him as a lekeach, the halacha is going to be in the aforementioned cases. Loi mehader, v'loi mehadrinan leh. We're not going to be able to take the karka away from him, nor are we going to give the karka to him. So let's talk about the first case. The first case where the woman was the loiva. She didn't have money. And, well, the first case is where the woman was the malva. The woman loaned somebody money. The borrower didn't have money. The borrower instead gave her karka. She was married. Just like we said that if a malva gets money and then he sells it, what's the halacha? That you don't say shuma hadar. Because once it's sold, klapi that lekeach. There's no vasisa yoshev atoy b'nei Hashem. The husband is also deemed a lekeach. And being that the husband is deemed a lekeach, it's for that reason the shuma is not going to be harder. And the Amar Rabbi Yossi, how do we know that Baal b'nichsei ishtoi lekeach hava? Rabbi Yossi said it. This is a big halacha in Ksubas Memtes Amar Aleph. Be'usha hiskinu and usha the chachamu wa mesakin that isha shemachrom b'nechsa b'lechai b'aylo, a woman that sold her nechsa b'lug while her husband was alive, umesa, and then she died. Habal moitzi miyad alakuchos. The husband can go take away what she sold from the lekuchos. And it's a little bit of a chiddush, because ordinarily you would look at the husband as a yoyrish b'nechse ishtoi. And if the husband is yoyrish b'nechse ishtoi, a yoyrish can't go after the fact and take something that the person he's yarshing from sold while that person was alive. But if you look at the husband as a lekeach, it was his before it was already sold. He already had a kinyan in it. And being that he already had a kinyan in it, he can be moitz miyad lekuches. So it's a chiddush that a husband that yarshes nechsa b'lechus shel ishto is not viewed as a yorish in halacha, is viewed as a lekeach. Where does it come from? It comes from that takana susha. Incidentally, we spoke at Reda on this takana susha when we learned Ksubas, Tosfos' famous kasha, that according to Rabbi Yochanan, that holds kinyan peiros is kinyan aguf. So every husband is always a baldavar. He's always a mechutin with all nechsim aluk. So why do you have to come on to a takana susha to tell me that the husband has a right to be moitzi miyad alakuchos? Why shouldn't his kinyan peiros be enough for him to be moitzi miyad alakuchos? But either way, that's what the Gemara is saying, that the halacha of bal b'nechsei ishtoi, like keyachava, manifests itself in these halachas of shuma. Because whether shuma is hadar or not hadar depends on whether or not the recipient is a lekeach or not. Thus, if the balza lekeach, you wouldn't have the halach of shuma hada. Agbe yu b'chayvay. What if the loiva himself, when it came time to pay the loan, didn't have any money, he said, I'll give you a piece of property. Meaning the classic case of shuma is where Bezdin was forced to come in, intervene, and force the hand of the loiva to make payment. What if Bezdin never had to get involved? Bezdin didn't have to get dirty. The loiva willingly told the Malva, I don't have money, let me give you a piece of property. And then later the loiva comes up with money. Would you have the same halacha of Shuma Hadar? Now, again, we're discussing the sugi of Shuma Hadar, Hilchasa, Nardoi Amri, Shuma Hadar. We paskin that Shuma's Hadar. The classic case of Shuma is where Bezdin forced the loiva to give over a piece of property. What if Bezdin didn't have to force the loiva? What if the loiva did it on his own? One said Hadra. One said you have the same halacha of Shuma Hadar. Chadam aloy Hadra. Mandam aloy Hadra, working backwards. The one that said in this case it's loy Hadar. Savar is of the opinion. Why should it be Hadar? If the loiva willingly gave him a piece of property, it's like he sold him the piece of property. He did it on his own. Why should we unwind that? If Bezdin forced them, so it's not something he ever wanted. So then Vasisa Yoshevat Toiv says that if he comes up with the money, give him back his property. But if he did it on his own, Zvini Ma'ayu, Manda Mahadra, the one that says, no, you're going to say Shumahadra in this case, he's going to counter with a very an equally obvious svara. So Valoy Zvini Ma'ayu, you think this person really wanted to give up his property? He didn't want to. Just the reason he did is, the reason he didn't just go to court and wait till Bezdin forced him is Machmas Kisufo. He wasn't interested in being dragged through the mud, having to go through the legal system. Sometimes you serve somebody papers, it works, because people don't want to deal with that. So this is not Zvini Ma'alyo, that's not what this was all about. This was simply a person that was forced into it. He didn't want to go to court. But you're going to tell me Zvini Ma'alyo? No. He didn't really sell it. As a result, it's no different than if Bezdin would have physically forced his hand. As a result, you'd have the same halacha of Shuma Hadar. Says the Gemara, Me'emas Achal Peri. To the extent that Bezdin decided that the Leiva has to hand over a piece of property to the Malva, we've now identified the property. The property is Oysaperis. The Malva naturally is going to be the one that's going to benefit from those payers. From what point? Meaning, he got it today. Do we go back? Is there a look back period retroactively from when the Malva is already entitled to these payers? So the Gemara says, yeah. Rabba says, Michimati Adrachta Liyode. From the day that Malva got the Adrachta, that's the shtar that Bezdin gives him, saying that we are now going to make an assessment on the Leiva's properties and we're going to find the property that we think is perfect for you, the right property for you alone, we're going to give you. As soon as the Malva gets that Adrachta, it's from that date that he's already entitled to payers. Abaya Amar, not surprisingly, in light of many other things Abaya said in Masechtas Bava Metzia, Eid of Bechasuma of Zachanoi. No, as soon as the Adrachta signed, even if the Malva didn't even get the document yet, as soon as it's signed, it already entitles them to payers. These are big chidushim. Rava Amar, Rava says no. Nichi Shlimu Yemei Achrasta. The process was, if you remember, the Gemara discussed it in detail in the end of Masechtas Bava Kama. The Malva would get this adrachta, this property, this shtar, that says that Bezdin is going to assess the properties of the loiva. Once he gets this shtar, the Bezdin would now identify a property. Once they identified a property, they would have to decide how much is this property worth. So what they would do is they would make a hachrosa. They would announce, like a sheriff sale, they'd give, I think it was a 30-day period for people to step forward and to submit bids to see how much they think this property is worth. When the Yemei Achrasta, the Yemei Achrosa passes, it's a later date, it's from that point that he gets to eat peiros, but prior to that, he does not get to eat peiros. So we begin another Bamba Mishnah. Haseicha Parah Mechaveroi, somebody rents a Parah Mechaveroi. So what's the halacha of a Seicher? Machloikis Tanoim. Whether a Seicher is a Shem Mechinam, thus he would be Potter from Gnei Vaveda if he swears, or a Seicher is a Shemir Sach of a Shilu Lachar, and now he took this paro that he rented and he loaned it to somebody else. Says Shengivar Nabalabas. He's a Seicher, he's a renter, and now he's lending out this thing that he rented. So you rent a car, and then you lend it to your friend. Umesa Kedarko, the Shoyal, who borrowed it from the Seicher, an oinus happened while he had it. Yeshova has Seicher Shemesa Kedarko, says the Mishnah, you know what Allah is? How was this thing that the renter rented damaged? There was an oinus. A soicher's potter from oinsin. So the soicher just goes over to his masker. He tells him an oinus happened. He'll have to back it up with a shvua. Okay, swear that an oinus happened. Once he swears he's off the hook, now this Seich is wearing another hat. He's also the lender, he's the marshal. He goes over to the Shoyal. You're a Shoyal, you're Chayv and Oitzin. You're Shoyal and the Seich. Pay up. I'm Rav Yossi. Rav Yossi said, no, that's not the way this works. It's not the way we do business. We just gave a whole shmuz about Yishorim. You can't, and it's interesting, Rabbi Yossi doesn't seem to have a problem in Lumdus so much. He just has a super high level problem. I hear Rabbanu, great chaf, he had a good Jewish lawyer. But at the end of the day, you can't be doing business with your friends, para. And it's for that reason, and this next kasha and teretz, we're going to go through really fast because it's very difficult, and we're just going to have to do what we do. A lot of different pshatim on what the kash is and what the teretz is. A seicher that is off the hook when he rents something, and it has happened, only gets off the hook after he swears. Meaning he has to swear in order for him to be off the hook. Says Rab Idi Bar Abin Labaya, I'll counter this seicher's chap with a chap. The seicher only becomes potter after he swears. So the name of the maskil seicher, why doesn't the masker tell the seicher, dal ant vidal shvua seich? You know what? I don't want you to swear. Isn't it the schus that the masker has to force the seicher to swear? Let him not force the seicher to swear. As a result, the seicher is not off the hook. If he's not off the hook, he's not a baldover to go over to the shoyal and demand the shoyal pay him. To the contrary, the masker will go to the shoyal and he will say, let me do business with the shoyal. So that he has a way to circumvent the circumvention of the seicher. So Abaye told Rabbi Bar Rabin, "Mi savre seicher b'shvua de kakani lo." The seicher is not koine this chayfet. He doesn't become a baldover with a shvua. Mishas misahu de kani. Really, as soon as the oynis happens, the seicher becomes potter, which means he has no obligations anywhere any at this point towards the masker. So he can now keep essentially this para. Why then does he have to swear? Shvua de kadei lo hafes daiti shal bala bayis. It's just to be mefayis to bala bayis, to demonstrate to the bala bayis that the oynis actually happened. But it's the oynis that is what ultimately triggers it. And being that the oynis for sure happened over here, it's for that reason that the bala bayis can't come back with this chap. Either way, zok de gemara. Omer Rab Zeira. Rab Zeira said, in light of this cute chap of the Mishnah, where the Mishnah said that it's possible for a soicher to be oisa schayra beparasa shel chaver. Rabbi Yossi argued, but the chachamim were okay with it. Said Rabbi Zeira, I'll tell you an even greater anomaly that can come about through this. You have to hold cup over here. I don't know why anybody would do this other than to prove a point. It's possible for Reuven to rent a para to Shimon and end up having to pay Shimon several paras. The Gemara is going to suggest initially four paras. So I'm the one that gave it, yet I'm the one that may end up having to pay. So someone goes over to his friend and he rents something for 100 days. Then the owner goes back to the renter. He says, you know I rented it to you for 100 days. You mind lending it to me? He says, sure. How long would you like it for? He says, 90 days. So now for the next 90 days, the real owner is going to have it, but not Peteras owner because he already rented it out. He has a Peteras shayl. Then the renter goes back over to the owner, who's now also the shayl, and he says, you know, I know that you rented me something that I loaned back to you. Would you mind renting it to me now? Not for the full 90 days. I know you want it. Give it to me for 80 days. He's sure, absolutely. No worries. Why wouldn't I? Says the Gemara. And then the owner, who's the shayl, goes and he borrows it from Sveitan Mall back from the renter. And now it died. But you know under whose watch it died? Under the watch of the owner, who's a shayl, times two. Says the Gemara, that kol sheila v'sheila mechayev chodapara. He now, being that he's a shayl, and the shayl always has to pay the mashal, even if the mashal is the soicher, meaning it's not really his, so he's a shayl twice, despite the fact that you're paying it to a soicher, and oh, by the way, you're the real owner. It doesn't matter. Who cares if you're the owner or somebody else is the owner? At the end of the day, the shayl has to pay. And there were two sheilos, so I'll call sheila v'sheila mechayev chodapara. I don't understand. Chodapara, this was all part. Oh. And more than that, he has to give him two paras for the two oinsen that happened b'shas d'sheilo, but also, he also has obligations to him as a masker. His obligations as a masker, if you're halting cup, was two schiriyos, 10 days each. The original schios was 100 days, but he borrowed it for 90 days. So he owes him that 10 days. And then when he rented it to him the second time, it was again for 10 days. Right. So he has to give him two paras for keeps, and then he has to give him two paras, or one para, for 20 days. This was all one para. I love Afka. It was coming and going. Afka mischiros keeps on trading hands. The ayla v'sheela. Afka mischeela v'ayla v'schiros. So one para should be enough. Amaleu mi isla para be'ena the name alehachi. You're right. If the para was alive, then you can make it work with one para. The problem is the para is not alive anymore. So every time the para died, there was a chiyav damim. The chiyav damim is a different chiyav damim. Mar bar avashi amar in le'alen ela shtei paras. Mar avashi paskin differently. He says it's only two paras. Chadet de sheela v'chadet de schiros. Shum sheela achasi. Vishum schiros achasi. This she'elo kani legami. The one that she'elo, he's going to get for keeps. The schiros, like you said, avad ba yemei schirusa, whatever the term of the schiros is, he'd provide it to him. Umahad le lamar, then afterwards, he would have to give it back. Another interesting anomaly that comes out from our Mishnah. Again, a Mishnah was talking about somebody rented something, and then he loaned it to somebody else. Machlekes Rav Yosi in the Chachamim. According to the Chachamim, if an oynes happens in the possession of the shayel, the Seich is Pater, because the Seich is always Pater from Mainzen. The Shoyal, however, has real Chiyuvei Sheila, Kalan Ashalai. He would have to make his Mashal, who's really the Seicher hold. Rabbi Yossi said, it doesn't work that way. The Shoyal has to make payment, not to his Mashal, who's the Seicher, but he has to give it to the real owner. Rabbi Yirmiyah said that this Mishnah can manifest itself in an interesting halacha with regards to karbonos. A little bit of background. If somebody swears falsely, regular shvuah is bitoy. He had no vested interest. He wasn't going to make money as a result of the shvuah. But he swore a shvuah is bitoy. That's a regular, ordinary shvuah. And it turns out that he lied. If he confesses his sin, he has to bring a karban chatas, not just an ordinary karban chatas, a karban oil of a yerid, meaning the chatas that he brings depends on what his... how much money he has. If he's wealthier, he has to bring a more expensive carbon. If he's less wealthy, he brings a less expensive carbon. If somebody would do the same exact thing, but he would do it to make money. For example, Reuven goes up to Shimon, you owe me $100. He swears he doesn't owe him $100. This vado es chatosim, and then afterwards he says, nah, I lied. The halacha is that his carbon gets upgraded. He doesn't bring a carbon oil of a yared, he brings a carbon asham. What's the name of this asham? It's called asham gizelois. We spent about a week of Daf Yomi on Hashem Gezeilus at the end of Masechtas Bava Kamma. So if somebody swears falsely with no monetary interest, he brings a carbon oil of the yoyer, assuming all the criteria are met. If he did it to make money, it's Hashem Gezeilus, then he would have to bring a carbon oil. I'm Rabbi Yerbi. Problem Shneim Bechatas, it's possible that Shneim, which two? The two Shoimrim in our Mishnah, the Seicher, and then the Shoyal that he loaned it to, would have to bring a carbon chatas. It's possible for them to both bring a carbon asham. It's possible for the Seicher to have to bring a chatas and the Shoyal to have to bring an asham. It's possible for the Seicher to bring an asham and the Shoyal a chatas. Okay, so what's the rule that you have to know? Kfiras mamin asham. If somebody swears falsely, then he admits it, but he did it to make money. You bring a carbon asham, that's Hashem Gezeilos. Bitu is fasayim. If it's just a regular, frivolous shvuah that didn't involve any monetary interest, then the halacha is you bring a carbon chatas. That's the rule of thumb, and the Gemara is just going to plug it in. You take this formula, take this equation, and plug it into the respective cases. What's the case where they both would be chayim b'karban chatas? Where, again, somebody rented something and then he loaned it to somebody else, that something else died, biyad hashoyl kedarka, died in an ordinary way. The amru nensa, and they said nensa, soicher, the soicher, the benkachu benkach miftar, a soicher who's potter, if something is mesa kedarka, the halacha is potter. He's going to be potter. Meaning, even if he said nensa, even if he would have swear falsely, it doesn't matter. The bottom line is, he would only have to bring a carbon chatas. Because he wasn't looking to make any money by swearing falsely. Because had he told the truth, he would have anyways been potter. So he doesn't stand to earn anything by lying. So if he lied and then swore as such, as Shemim always have to do, it doesn't matter. He would still only bring a karban chatas, because all it would be is a shvuas bitoy. The shayol also, if he would swear falsely, the benkachu benkach yuvei mechayev, Bechatas would also bring a carbon chatas. Because what did he swear? I swear it died. Okay, you're chayev. So even if he lied or he swore it was an oinus, you're chayev. The point is, the Seicher swore falsely, the Shoyal swore falsely, that both chayev chatas and not chayev Hashem gezeilos. Because they stood to gain nothing, and if you don't stand to gain anything, it's not Hashem gezeilos. What it is a regular carbon oila. How's it possible both be chayv Hashem? If it was stolen, the Amruan, they said, Mesa machmas malacha. They said what happened was it was Mesa machmas malacha. They're both looking to make money. Because both of them are really chayv. A seicher is chayv for gneiv aveda. Incidentally, Tosfos, Tap Tos, Mikan Yesh lo Yechiach, that the halacha is like the manamer that holds that a seicher is a shayim asachar. Because if you hold a seicher is a shayim achinim, he's not chayv for gneiv aveda. Either way, the seicher is chayv for gneiv aveda. The shayol is chayv for gneiv aveda. So they're both chayv. They're both saying meisa machmas malacha. Meisa machmas malacha, the seicher is potter from because it's an oinus. A shayol is also potter meisa machmas malacha. So they're both going to try to potter themselves as a result. They're chayiv, they're trying to make themselves potter, they're swearing, it's Hashem Gezeilos, they're both going to be chayiv, carbon osh. Seicher b'chatas shayiv v'oshem, how's it possible to seicher b'chayiv chatas shayiv v'chayiv oshem, gen shem esek adarko, it died ordinarily. V'amru, and they said, meisa machmas malacha, they said it was meisa machmas malacha, seicher, the ben kach mifter, potter, chayiv chatas. The seicher, who even had he told the truth, would have been potter, because if it's mesek adarka, it's an oinus, a seichus potter from oinsim. Even though he lied, he said mesek machmas malach, he's only chayv to bring the carbon out of the yair. He doesn't have to bring the asham, because he wasn't going to make money by his lie. Had he told the truth, he would have also been potter. Shoyl, the mechayv in mesek adarka. Shoyl, who's chayv mesek adarka. Vika potter nafshe in mesek machmas malach. He's potter if it's mesek machmas malach. So he's making money off the deal. Ba'asham, he'd be chayv a carbon asham. Seicher ba'asham. That's what's the case where the seicher would bring an asham and the shoyl would bring a chatas against shenignava where it was stolen. Va'amru, and they said mesa gedarka seicher who the mechayi begneva vaveda v'kapater nafshe b'mesa gedarka. The seicher who really should be chayiv because the seicher is chayiv begneva vaveda. He said mesa gedarka. He wants to make himself potter by saying it was an oinus. He lied. He swore falsely. Shvos hashoymrim. He has to bring the carbon asham. Whereas the shoyl who lied, but he lied by implicating himself. He said that it was an oinus. Hashayel's chayiv an oinusim. The benkach u'benkach yuvim mechayiv. He's chayiv regardless. Bechatas. He would have to bring a carbon chatas. This says the Gemara. Maika mashmu. This is all obvious. It was a little confusing, but all you had to know was the formula. You have to know that a soicher is a shomer socher. He's chayiv for gnev aveda. He's potter from oinusim. A shayel is chayiv for gnev aveda. He's chayiv an oinusim. He's only potter from mesa machmas malacha. You also have to know that if somebody swears falsely, v'hisvada. If he was going to make money because of the Shvuah Sheker, he brings an Hashem Gezeilos. If he wasn't going to make money, he brings a carbon oil, he brings a chatas. As long as you know that formula, you could figure this all out on your own. You don't need a half a amid in Shas to tell me this. So why did Rabbeinu and Rav Ashi tell this to me? I'll tell you why. He actually said a big chiddush. Lafuki mit Rav Ami. They were coming to exclude something Rav Ami said. Amar, who said, kol Shvuah Shadei Yonam Ashbi Noiso. Anytime Bezdin imposes a Shvuah on somebody and the person swears falsely, and then he's Moida. Ein Chayav and Olam Hashem Shvuah. There's no Shvuah's Bitoy. Shvuah's Bitoy is when somebody offers up a Shvuah on his own. But when the Shvuah was imposed upon him by Bezin, there is a Rav Ami who said there's no Shvuah. And had Rav Ami know that, Shinim, as the Pasuk says, Oy nefesh kisi shava levata bisvasayim. Kisi shava me'atzma, only if he swears on his own. But if he doesn't swear on his own, there's no halacha of Shvuah's Bitoy. Kamash malon. That's the chiddush of this. Braisa, like Rav Ami, that halacha is not like Rav Ami.